and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement
because
of the kingdom.
Faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogbeli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavens.
God assigned territories to people. I'm sure you have read it. Okay, let me read it for you again. Just in case, Deuteronomy 2, you can check out from verse 24. Territories are given to people, but they are given to people when they ask God for it. You know Psalm 2 verse 7, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask me and I will give you nations for your inheritance, the utmost part of the earth for your possession. It's an open check God gave us. So people are asking God for everything except cities and nations. We have asked God for Nigeria and heaven has said amen. Did you hear what I just said? And God said, go ahead. I'm giving it to you. But now, you have to rise up and contend for it in battle. So, Deuteronomy 2 verse 10, for rise up, take your journey, pass over river Arnon. Behold, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it. How do you possess it? By contending with him in battle. When God said he has given something to you, you still have to work for it. For example, the Lord said it clearly to me, slow down from this, give attention, because you don't have much time, give attention this period to Lagos State, to this area, to this area, to that area. He just mentioned gates in Nigeria. There are cities that are gates. So give attention to them, because I have given it into your hand. So, what we are here for is deployment summit. Another way of talking about possessing. Ask me and I will give you nations for your inheritance. The reason is that Jesus died for every soul and he died for every nation. But he needs men to possess them. Someone said God has given it to dominion city. Really? We are the soldiers he wants to use to collect them. He is the one that wants to have them. He's paid for them. He died for them. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the program of redemption. ₦30,000 people are coming into the city of Lagos every day. Multiply by 30 days, you have an idea of the number in just 1 month. 900,000. And this statistics was the last report just about the time Governor Fashola left office. ₦30,000 people every day. How many churches do we need to plant on daily basis to catch up? I have to talk about accommodation for these people. Where they will go, their children will go to school, jobs for them, what they will eat. But have you ever thought about salvation for all those people? Have you ever thought about not just salvation, how these people will be discipled? Many of them left cities where some of you came from to come here. Because if you study mission in the last days, both according to the scripture and according to missiological finding, urban mission is going to be one of the most important aspects of mission. It said actually that more than 70% of the world population will be living in urban centers. There is actually another statistic that said 90% of the world population will be in urban centers. So if you want to reach somebody from Sambisa Forest, you can easily reach him inside Lagos. You want to reach somebody from KB, you can reach him here. And then you can send him as a missionary to his people. Mission dynamics are so changed that it's no more like you really have to get inside that forest before you reach the people there. People are migrating. People are migrating. To reach somebody from Syria, you want to be a missionary to Syria, to reach somebody from Iraq, to reach somebody from Afghanistan, you don't really have to go there. You can follow them to Germany now. You can follow them to London. You can follow them to any part of Europe and reach them, disciple them, because there nobody will cut your head and nobody will cut their head. You do it the other place, you do it at such a high risk for your own life and their life. Well, here you disciple them well, and they take time to be strong, then you can now send them to that place. But they are the ones that speak the language, they understand the culture, they have been in the system, and then they will go and reach it. And you can waste 20 years of your life and you won't be able to reach what that man can do in 1 year. These are some of the dynamics that are occurring. Okay. So, ask me and I'll give you nations. But to take it, you have to contend with the kings in battle. And he's talking about territorial powers. The human beings you see moving around are not free. There are forces running this world that we see. You have to contend with them. You take what Jesus had done on the cross and enforce it. You're not going to do another work. He has already defeated them, but you take that victory and enforce it. You break the power of the devil over your city. You break his power over the people. You break the power over your street. And you call the people out of darkness. And then in prayer, an awakening starts. So the first law of possession is prevailing prayer. Not casual prayer. Not casual prayer. That's why deployment, the first thing in deployment is praying. Can you show those seven things, or about 10 of them, 7 to 10 of them, that we are following? Praying, mobilizing, and the rest of them. He's taking this guy. So, you saw what we did just now, you know. Failure to do that is the reason why sometimes you come, the world is flying up and down. Watch this atmosphere. It has opened up for ministry. As we move in, like tomorrow, it's going to get very deep. There will be sessions where you will be out of this world. You will be right on top of that city of the living God. You will be right there. Because church is a gate into the spirit world, but not demonic world, into the realm of the spirit. Is a gateway into God's presence. Praying is the first thing. Until it's done, nothing else is done. Every other thing is a waste of time. This is what I want you to write down. Never preach to a people you have not prayed for. Never complain about people that you have not prayed for. Because there are forces influencing human beings. And in prayer, through prayer, the beauty of people can be unveiled. Because you remove the influence of Satan. Never preach to people you have not prayed for. The first job you have is not to preach to people or teach them. Pray for them first. Never complain about a problem pray about it first. And there won't be need to complain again. When there are problems in the church, in marriage, like marriage problem, church crisis, don't go settling quarrel till you are prayed about it first and taking care of the spirits that caused it. Because many a time, what happens? We don't deal with things in the spirit. We'll go and deal with it in the natural, and it's like pouring fuel inside fire. And the couple end up divorcing, or the problem gets worse. Whether it's your own personal marriage or another person, whatever, whenever the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality. Stop dealing with things in the natural, because there are other forces interfering, and until you take care of them. A pastor came to complain to me. The daughter is trying to marry one drug dealer, and the guy takes drugs too. And the father, everybody can see, even me, can see what a bad life that her future will, what a bad life that is waiting for her. What a terrible future. She was so much in love with that guy. And the father has tried. She ran away from home. Today, the man caught up with me and said, please help me. That you have your way with the young people. So I sent for the girl. She came. And she started telling me how nice this guy is, how much in love she was. I said, okay, no problem. Just go. We'll talk. Give me some time. I'll call you again. And so I called the dad. I said, you're going to wake up early tomorrow and pray in tongues for your daughter non-stop for 1 hour. And I will join you for my house. If you do it, at the end of it, call me to say you have done it. And then I'll send for her again. You know what happened? It wasn't the father that called me, it was the girl. I was in my study, praying. And I break your power over this girl. That spirit of infatuation that's not allowing her to see. We break it. It was my phone rang, it was again. I said, what's happening? He said, Pastor, do I really have to give up? I said, I told you, I said, we'll talk. He said, no, I want to talk now. I don't know what is happening to me. Something just came over me this morning, and I've been crying. And I feel like apologizing to my dad. I said, then go ahead and do it. He said, okay, thank you, sir. He said, after that, what next? Call the guy, tell him that it's over. He said, thank you, sir. And she went ahead and did it. We had just gone 40 minutes into the prayer. The man called me to thank me. I said, no, I have not had the counseling with her yet. He said, then what happened? I said, maybe you should talk to her. We have not done the counseling yet. Because when I met her, I saw how stubborn she was about the issue. Don't meddle with people till you have prayed for them first. We are not dealing with flesh and blood. You are walking like a carnal man, dealing with things in the flesh. And you have lost members, had problems over this issue. Because the power that is behind it will not let go because of counseling. It won't. They will only let go when you apply the power of the Spirit. That's where prayer comes in. Prayer takes care. And that's the key to taking a territory and dominating a territory. When the Bible says, begin to contend with him in battle, he's talking about prayer first. Take the spiritual weapons of God and take care of the forces in your territory. Break their power over the human beings that Jesus died for. Bring the blood and use it to make a claim over the lives of the people. Unlock a movement. And then, until you pray, evangelism is pouring water on the rock. Until you pray, preaching is pouring water on the rock. Until you pray, there is no ministry that works. You may gather people, but that's how Satan will collect them back. He will follow them up. He can allow them to go, but he will collect them. Then there are some he can even allow to be in church, but he's running their lives. If Jesus will not do it without prayer, how dare you think you can? So, I'm going to share a few things along this line. A few things. We have just declared mediate fast. If you know about the kind of things that are happening now in the country, everything, you know, even this government is confused. They're overwhelmed because there are so many problems coming against one government. At least Jonathan was dealing with Boko Haram. But now we have Boko Haram for Northeast, cattle rustlers for Northwest, cattle herdsmen and their Wahala for North Central, and now Bakassi, not Bakassi, Biafra, whatever, for Southeast, militancy for South-South. Terrific armed robbery, Southwest. You see what's happening in Festac area. And then kidnapping nationwide. One government. Seven horns. Four horns is enough to scatter a nation. Now you have seven. So, the circumstances prevailing, before we talk about the economic circumstances, the spiritual circumstances, and moral decadence, this is the circumstance under which the people that are coming to your church are coming from. No. You have to step up into the supernatural if you want to survive this season, if that church is going to be moving forward. So, we have just called for fast. The first thing is you that are here. You started. I don't want to hear, see you eating biscuit or eating whatever. You know, some of you, your stomach can't do without food. Until at least 5 p.m. 6 p.m. I can understand 5 because I know some people will be in session by 6. So, you probably close your fast before coming. I remember that yesterday, by the time I now remembered food, I think it was around 11 something in the night. Yes. 11 something in the night. And they brought that food probably much earlier because it has gotten so cold. Actually, there is a place you get to with what you are doing. You don't even remember some of those things. It's the one you must be doing. Maybe I should show you how to do it. This is no food. It has no nutrients inside. Have you ever heard of carbohydrates inside water? Or okay, I've heard of mineral water. You know, but that's no food either. Just like oxygen is no food. So, both oxygen and this cannot be removed because you are fasting. Unless you want to meet Abraham faster. You know, it's your father in heaven. Apart from Heavenly Father, we have Father Abraham. So, oxygen, water, food. The other two has nothing to do with fast. So, even though there are cases, and it's not usually more than 3 days, people decided to do without water. But Jesus, who is the perfect example, showed that that is not right. But there was a man who was in the presence of God for 40 days. He didn't remember water and food. Moses. It's not like he declared a fast. The glory shut him out. Yes, because the glory can shut down your system. and keep it safe. Remember that there was bread, manna. Manna lasts 24 hours before it spoils, because it's bread. Bread. So they get fresh one every day. But they took it and kept it in the presence of God, in the holiest of holies. He stayed there for 40 years. Did you hear what I just said? He stayed there till the children of Israel got to the promised land. No warming, no oven to warm it, no freezer to freeze it. There is something the glory does. So Moses was right inside that same place. That's why he could do that. So Jesus came and fasted. And usually, like eagles, how an eagle fasts, you find where there is water. A lot of it. So, but if you have a medical condition that will not allow you, you and your doctor should sort that part out. So, you know, consult. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay. Fasting. There are many benefits of fasting, but I will give you some to get you to understand the importance so that you will do it. Number one, if you want to see a revival, fasting is the key. Joel chapter 2. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Now, Joel chapter 2 gave us conditions for bringing about a revival. And at the end of it, for example, verse 28, he said, "And afterwards I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." But you need to read the whole chapter to see how to get to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If you go to from verse 12, he gave the conditions we meet if we want an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Some of them is things like, turn to me with your all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. So you see, fasting is one of them, but the other ones are things like repentance. You have to get rid of the sins in your life. You don't just fast and keep the sin and then your fast will produce no result. Come to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Add one more verse. You know, rend your heart and not your garment. Turn unto the Lord your God. He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger. If you read it down, when he now got to 23, verse 23, he now said, "Be glad, you children of Zion, for he has given you the former rain moderately. But this time God will cause to come down for you the rain, the former and the latter rain in the first month." Let me give you one example. There's a book I distributed called The Atomic Power of God. You remember that book? It was written in the 40s. That Franklin man, the revelation he got was about the power of fasting. So he started with a small group teaching on the power of fasting. And then he wrote that book. That book, the Holy Spirit anointed it, it circulated. So that book came into the hands of people like William Branham, A.A. Allen, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, and a group of men. They began to attend that his teaching. That his teaching. Small, just small meeting, or maybe small like this. They began to attend and they learned this, and many of them took it and went and started holding their own meeting, fasting and prayer, and they would do fast. Then they would start going to long fast, like 10 days and more, 21 days fast, different types of fast. They did that 46, 47. Actually, 47 was the climax. By the end of the year, the healing revival broke out in the U.S. And then all the stories you've been hearing, A.A. Allen's and other men, that if you want to talk about miracles, some of them you hear, you wonder if this actually happened. the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was released on the earth at a dimension. 120 men that carried tangible power on their lives. They shook their world. They shook. It spread to Europe, spread to other parts of the world, got to Africa here. We can see that that's what Jesus did before he engaged. So, the end of June. That doesn't mean if you want to go further, you can't. At least till 6 to 6. No? 6 to 6. That one, you know, the time they were even doing is long fast. Just drinking only water. Sometimes only juice. So, that's what you see here. The former rain, the latter rain in the first month. Fasting, humility, weeping, repentance, all of them combined will unleash it. The second thing is unlock the faith to do the impossible. Many of you have doubts, but do you know doubt is normal to human beings? Doubt, unbelief. If you want to confront your unbelief and subdue it, fasting is the key. If you want to be able to have the faith to believe for the possible, and it will happen. There are two levels of faith. There is natural faith. There is supernatural faith. If you want it to come into your soul, fasting is what unlocks it. Fasting and prayer. Because there's another thing that helps to deal with that. Hello, stop playing that music. Whosoever is doing that. Okay. Praying in the Spirit drowns your doubt and unlocks your faith. Show them Jude. Is it Jude 20? Building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. If you want to start operating in the supernatural, learn to pray in the Spirit for at least an hour a day. The kind of things you'll be doing. The kind of things you'll be doing. There's a friend of mine. He's very good with pulling people out of wheelchair. One time we were talking, you know, when his office talking. And there were a lot of crippled people that came to see him who needed help. That's the day. He has a day where he ministered to such people, you know, in the week. And there were a couple of them that came, you know, people with different kinds of infirmities. But I was surprised that he was gisting with me. We've had a relationship that was far back, so he obliged. Because it was actually that day he usually keeps himself apart to give himself to prayer before he goes to deal with this stuff. So he comes from the presence of God, he walks in, and then things start happening. But we're just about an hour to the time he will go to minister. He turns to me, he said, "Do you know, today is the day I normally go to minister to the sick. And there is one reality people don't know about me. When I walk in and see those crippled people, I'm frightened. The natural me don't believe. I have problems with doubt. I look at cancer cases, I have problems with doubt. Even though I have seen so many people like that healed, you would think because I have seen it in the past that I will just automatically in the flesh have faith for it. I don't. He said, but there is a secret I've learned. He said, it's Jude 20. 120. I know how to drown my unbelief. I know how to drown my fear. I know how to drown my doubt. So he said, you need to join me. Let's pray in the spirit for an hour. And then we started praying in the spirit. 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 He started praying in the spirit. He started praying in the spirit. About 4 to 5 minutes, because we've been in gist. The atmosphere changed. We crossed over into the other realm. Then we kept praying in the spirit. We soared higher, soared higher. Me too, the thing hit me. At that moment, you are like somebody who has taken Igbo. It's no more normal. You know, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. You don't go and do these things by sight. At this moment, revelation, you start walking by revelation. Quicken word, rhema word, start flowing. And then, he walks down. Even you're showing up, God shows up. Just few words. Bah! People started coming out of wheelchair. It's crazy. But something registered with me. I learned the secret. Actually, I've known the secret before then, but it's the discipline of practicing it that sunk in very well with me. Faith to do the impossible. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, 21. It was a child suffering from epilepsy. Epilepsy. The disciples tried to cast that devil out from morning till night. They couldn't. Anyway, Jesus and his disciples came down from mountain of prayer where he also was transfigured. But the Bible said, as they prayed, the fashion of his countenance was transfigured. When they came down from that, he took care of that demon. So the disciples came and said to him, why couldn't we cast him out? You can read from verse 19 so that they can actually see. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? Okay, verse 20. And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. You see what the problem is. For if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Everyone say, if you have faith. And sometimes we speak even when we don't believe. If you have faith, you can say to the mountain, remove from this to yonder place, and it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible to you. There is a force that rules this universe, but it flows from the human soul, the human spirit. Force of faith. It can move mountains. But Jesus said, if you have, you can't do this thing without assumption. And so he gave them the key to conquering their unbelief and unlocking that kind of faith. Verse 21 say, however, this kind does not go or by prayer and fast. That's the difference between Jesus before he went to fast for 40 days. He lived for 30 years here. He didn't help anybody, couldn't heal anybody. And the Jesus after that fast. And that's what happened to this healing evangelist after that 1947 fast. Everybody turned to another man. The same person, the same individuals who couldn't do anything, they turned to something. So you know what to do. You know what to do. God is not the one delaying. God is not the problem. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? You don't do something because you don't know. you have not known what is in it. I heard somebody talking about speak to people words of motivation. You can come and teach fast and oppress people with fasting. No, the way to motivate people is to show them the benefits, the power of it. Show them the purpose of it, the why. You don't need to beg them, they will do it. I can bet you that you will fast. Even if you don't do it now, you will do it. Because when you sit with ministry, you lay hands on people, they die. They bring cancer cases. And the only type of sicknesses that get healed is the type that the demons are not serious. Everyone said this kind. There is a this kind. Whenever they bring this kind, wahala. Sometimes when they bring you, your heart will jump. You don't want them to come. People are dying around you. Don't you want to help them? Don't you want to have the power to change your world? Don't you want to have the power to help suffering people? Don't you want to lay hold on the atomic power of God? Smith Wigglesworth said, I'd rather have the power of the Holy Ghost on me 5 minutes than to have all the wealth of France. What is that thing that he would rather have for just 5 minutes? No, I don't think you have understood it. Something more than gold. Something more than gold. The Spirit of God in a heart of man is something more than gold. There are people who talk about faith. There are those who have it. If you have, then you can say. Don't ignore if you have. Solve that problem first. Then you can say to this mouth. Some are talking about it. Other people have it. Can talk about a car. Another person has it and is driving it. You're on two different levels. Men who turn the world upside down. Everyone lift up your hands. Father, I release that potential power of God in the life of everyone here. These men will live here and turn their cities upside down. No more normal ministries. No more weak ministries. No more fruitless ministries. In the name of Jesus. No more going around the same mountain. It's time for your city to bow. It's time for that giant to bow before you. Behold, I've given you Sihon, the king of your city. I've given you and all his land. I've surrendered. I've given it to you. When you go back to your talk, those forces will say yes, sir. In the name of Jesus. May fresh fire touch your tongue. May fresh fire touch your life today. In the name of Jesus. After this weekend, the miraculous will become normal and come on in your ministry. When they tell you somebody is dying, say, bring him here. Bring him to me. Father, we give you praise. Lift your hands and just bless him. Nagaba, Kodo, Kodo, Kodo! Sikimomo, Kororama. Shikayobo, Iborokomomo. Akiyamboro, Shirokubo. Sedegobo, Koboro Kiyaba. Shikayaba. Maholo, Kobo, Kobama Mahiraba. Setere, Shiraba. You see what I'm saying? There is now a ladder, and angels are ascending and descending. Then you can do ministry. So it won't just be men talking it. It won't just be men talking. Kirababa, hadabada, hadabada. Speak, pray in the spirit a little. Sudo, korob, korobarabo. Thank you. Jesus' name, you may be seated. One of the purposes of fasting is to humble the soul. One of the problems of life, one of the problems of the foreign man is ego, pride, and rebellion. How many of you would like to be humble and meek? Let me see your hand. That's one of the things I've sought all my life. Jesus said, learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in the heart. How do you do it? All my life, I didn't know how to do it. I don't ask God to do it for you, because the way He would do it is usually painful. He will humiliate you. He will break you. Those are the only two things He will do. He will break you. That means send you back into the wilderness. Or He will humiliate you. Allow very humiliating experience. Some people, God, humble me. Lord, humble me. Make me humble. He will wipe their finance and send them down there. And other things. What the Bible teaches is humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. The Bible never said God will humble you. He said you are to humble yourself. Maybe I should show you. And it says the benefits that come with it. Let me show you one or two scriptures. You know, Matthew chapter 18 verse 4. Show it fast, please. Whosoever therefore shall what? Humble himself as a little child. The same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. How many of you would like to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? It's a promise here. I would like to get it. How many would you like to be the exceptional, among the exceptional pastors in DC? Let me see. You see, the key is humility. You cannot be promoted beyond how far you humble yourself. Okay, look at this one. Chapter 23 verse 12, the same Matthew. Whosoever shall exalt himself, what will happen to him? He will be abased. But whosoever shall humble himself shall be what? How many want God to exalt them? My two hands are up. How many want promotion? You want another level. Humility is the key. But remember, whosoever shall humble himself. He didn't say God will humble you. He said you are to humble yourself. You want the next level, another level now. This is the key. You know, like they say, the way up is down. Let me show you another scripture. James 4 verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. What will happen? How many want lifting? I want it. What is the way forward? Humility. Let me give you one more. But who did he say will do the humbling? You humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. 1 Peter 5 verse 6. And then lifting will follow it. Promotion will follow it. Yes, 1 Peter. So I can tell what the future holds for you by the attitude, the posture you are taking. I see pride. I know downfall is about to come. I see humility. You know promotion is about to come. Okay. Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God. What will follow? That He will exalt you in due season.
This is the end of this part. Please play the next tape in the series.